Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you, speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This message, a short message for us here today, and it is actually a continuation of what we discussed last week. If I can read to you the latter portion of chapter 5, reminds you of that work of reconciliation. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so being given that ministry of reconciliation, Paul here identifies us as ambassadors, and we are to go out and share that message of reconciliation. Reconciliation, as I said last week, means to take what has been split, what has been lacking unity, which is no longer in harmony, and bringing that back together, bringing that relationship back together to a peaceful state, being ministers, being one who shares the gospel message, be reconciled to God. And we also said being reconciled to God allows us to be reconciled to each other. We have our disappointments and disagreements from time to time, and we work to reconcile and bring us back to that place of peace. And so now Paul is continuing that message. What does the ministry of one who reconciles look like? What is one who's been given the ministry of reconciliation, is an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that ministry look like? Well, first of all, there's a caution. He says, working together with him, with Christ, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. A very unique phrase. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Now, we have to be careful here because is this the grace of God in our salvation? Or is this the grace of God that leads us in our sanctification and in our growing? Well, as we read in Ephesians, we read in Ephesians that the gift of faith, the gift of grace, the gift of faith in that salvation is what brings us to Christ. And so here Paul is talking about using the means of grace to grow. And we've been given such an incredible gift through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been given such an incredible gift of justice before the Father because Jesus Christ, living the sinless life on this earth, fulfilled the law entirely. And so he brought justice back to the Father's name. He died on the cross for our sins, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And so we've been given an incredible gift of grace. But it does not end there. Paul is saying, you are a child of God, being given an incredible gift. Don't waste it. Use it and grow in the maturity and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was going through this, I couldn't help but to remember that same phrase I used in a prayer. following Marley's passing. I said, Lord, you've taken something very, very valuable. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. And he did not. We've used Marley's story in many cases. Here again, we have been given such an incredible gift of grace. Let us not waste it. So how are we to, how would we receive the God's grace in vain? How would we receive it in vain? Accepting the salvation, and it ends there. Accepting the salvation of Jesus Christ, said, yes, I'm saved, and it ends there. What are we doing to grow in that salvation? What are we doing to grow in that sanctification? What are we doing to grow to be more and more like Christ? Well, in the Reformed Church, we ask the question, are you taking advantage of the means of grace? What are the means of grace, those instruments that God has given his church to help us grow in his likeness? Right here is the first and foremost, preaching. You attending worship services, taking advantage of the means of grace. Reading God's holy word, the holy text, is a means of grace. Through all of these, we learn more and more and more about Christ. Another means of grace, which is very, very done well in this church, fellowship. Fellowship with each other, encouraging each other, mentoring, Bible studies, etc. Another means of grace. But the question has to be asked to each of us individually. Are we taking advantage of all of those things available in the church that I might grow in the likeness of Christ? I'm very glad you come to worship service at 11 o'clock on Sundays. Awesome. But is that all we do? If so, we will mature very, very little and slowly. Do we read our Bible daily? Do we read God's holy word and ask the Holy Spirit to feed us and to grow us and uncover those areas which need that grace? Do we attend Bible studies? Here, I hope, but other places. Do we attend Bible studies where we are taught even the further and more about the love and care and the ministry that God has us in? And there are other ways. But here Paul is saying, do not receive the grace of God in vain. You've been given an incredible gift. Now take advantage of it. Now, there's two sides to this story. One, we are the ambassadors, the ministry of reconciliation. So we go out and we minister to those around us. And we use these things and we encourage them to take advantage of the means of grace. But the other side of that is for us. We have been reconciled to God. And we need not take God's grace in vain. We need to do these things so that we grow. You've heard it said often, you will have very little to feed others if you are not first fed yourself. It's hard to feed from an empty vessel. Being ministers of reconciliation, we need to have the tools necessary to go out and share that message. First, letting it be seen in our own life, but then also encouraging and teaching others. So let us not receive the grace of God in vain. Being a minister of reconciliation is difficult. Being a servant of Christ is difficult. Being an ambassador of the Christian faith is difficult. It's not an easy task. Paul here mentions the need for endurance. The need for endurance. Some of these may sound a bit harsh for us, and we can't quite understand, or we know we haven't faced these things, but in some small ways we have, and some of you in greater ways. But listen to this. Being a minister requires great endurance. In afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, I can't help but to think of our brother Andrew Brunson in a Turkish prison for over a year now. Imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. These are things that we'd face as we go out and do the ministry of Jesus Christ. As I said, some of these may sound a bit outlandish for us. I do have sleepless nights. I don't go hungry very often. I haven't been beaten. Hardships, yes. Afflictions, yes. But look what Paul went through. And read the stories. Some of you have borrowed my books, the telling of the martyrs down through the Christian faith and history. Imagine living in some of those areas where your life is being challenged and your life is being taken. Your children are being taken away from you. Children being beheaded in front of you. We may not face these directly, but even in our ministry calls here, it requires endurance. And when we are challenged, there is an opportunity where we might pull back. There is the opportunity where we might not be as strong in our words because the challenges are just too great. But here Paul calls us to have ministries of integrity. He first of all says, we put no stumbling block. We put no obstacle in your way. Meaning we are preaching the truth. We are preaching the material you need to hear. And we are not putting obstacles in your way. We commend ourselves to you, but you have been given every access to what we have. Integrity. Verse 6, he says, we do this, although we're challenged, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. What do your ethics look like when you're challenged in your ministry? What does your conduct look like when you face the challenges of sharing the gospel with someone else? What does your conduct look like? Does it remain that purity? Do you maintain that truthful speech? Do you maintain that the work of the Holy Spirit is here? Are you patient with those that you're sharing the message with? Integrity of ministry. If we do not have integrity of ministry, then we might just be that obstacle to someone coming to faith, coming to understand. Do we commend ourselves truthfully and rightfully to those we seek to share the gospel to? Paul says, the power of God with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Paul, what weapons are we speaking of? Highly debatable, but we see this as an offensive kind of weapon and also a defensive kind of weapon. Shield in the left hand, sword in the right. As we go out and fight the battles, sharing the message of God. And so we are defensive when someone attacks, but we're also very offensive, not offending, offensive with that sword of the power of the word. And Paul goes on, we are treated as imposters, yet we're true. As unknown, yet well known, dying, and behold, we live, punished, yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. And having nothing, yet possessing everything. Again, ministry, if it's done with the fullness of your heart, is very difficult and very challenging. I can attest to some of these statements. Being called an imposter. Receiving letters calling me a false witness. False prophet, being ridiculed for my beliefs. Some of you have, and you will continue. But here again, are we maintaining the integrity of our ministry? Because what we do, what we say as ambassadors, reflect on the one to whom we represent. Have you ever been told that you might be the only thing someone knows about Jesus Christ? Have you ever been told that what you have to say, what you have to reflect, may be the only thing anyone's ever heard about Jesus Christ? And so we have to maintain that integrity. The life of an ambassador, the ministry of reconciliation. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in the favorable time I listened to you, in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Urgency. Urgency. Are we urgent getting the message out? Are we moving to get the message out? Today may be the very day. Today may be the very day we are used as that instrument to bring someone to Jesus Christ. Are you prepared? Are you ready to do that? Can you maintain your integrity, although someone might turn you down? Someone might turn against you? The ministry of reconciliation is the work of God. But in His wisdom, He has called us to be those ambassadors. And so let's have a message of grace. Let's have a message of truth. Let's have a message of Christ taking that cross for your sin and extending the grace of God to us.